All right, well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we always come to you thanking you that you love us so much. And Lord, we thank you that you give us the opportunity to take care of this earth and to be able to provide for ourselves with gardening. We just pray that you'd bless this program that we're doing, and we're thankful for Teresa and the wisdom that she has. We ask this in your name. Amen. All right, well, Teresa, on this month, we're going to talk about setting up an indoor grow area. And so why do we want to do that?
Well, Jillian, if you can start your own plants, you can be sure to get exactly what you want, when you want them, and you can be sure that those plants are healthy as possible. You know, there's no intermediary who's handled your seedlings to perhaps, you know, maybe they get a little damaged along the way in the handling, or maybe they're exposed to some things. If you start your own seedlings, again, you can have exactly what you want, when you want it, and premium health on those seedlings.
So, yeah, because lots of times, I mean, right now you can't go buy any plants that have started, usually, right?
Not around here. It's
right.
Too early.
Yeah. And then if you're growing your own, like you're saying, we know what they are, especially maybe if you want organic seeds, because sometimes I know you can buy organic plants, but like you're saying, if you're planting them yourself, you know what they are, what you're doing and everything.
And
right?
you can, you know, maybe your favorite variety tomato is Black Crim, and you don't know in May when you go to buy a tomato seedling, will the stores have your favorite variety seedling available? Whereas if you buy the seed yourself and start the plants yourself, you can have exactly the varieties that you want.
So when you are starting, you know, right now we're in the month of February. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, when are we going to be able to transplant, though?
It depends on the crop. You know, tomatoes and peppers, we're going to want to wait maybe until the frost is gone. But there are some things like lettuces and cabbages and broccoli. They can go out early May. Onions can go out even earlier. So, you know, you wouldn't start everything right now, but there's some things that take a long time, like onions, like a lot of our herbs, where you do want to think about starting them in late February, early March. And tomatoes, you can start certainly by the 1st of April.
Okay. All right. Now, when you're doing it inside, what do you need to do? Because you don't have the outside light and the rain. And
okay, that's right. You've got to basically be Mother Nature for these plants. And what Mother Nature provides for us is it provides the soil in which they grow. So we have to come up with something to grow the plants in. And we have to provide warmth and light and water for these plants, and also some sort of plant nutrition for them.
So you know, talk about soil. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you can buy, like, when, you know, I'm not a big gardener. My husband's the farmer, but I like plants, so I buy plant soil.
Uh-huh.
Now, what kind of soil, then, if you're going to start your own garden inside, what kind of soil are you going to buy?
You're going to look for seed starting mix.
Oh, okay.
And seed starting mixes are specially blended to have the characteristics that starting seeds need. And what they need is they need good drainage. We're really concerned when you start your own seedlings about a fungal disease called damping off. And that happens when the mixture that the plants are growing in is just too moist and they don't have enough air circulation. So you're going to want something that drains well. And there are ready-made mixes that you can purchase. You can purchase ones that are either organic or not organic, or you can make your own, which is what I like to do.
And so how do you make your own?
Well, here I have to refer to an expert by the name of Elliot Coleman. And he has a book called The New Organic Grower. And in that book, he gives a very detailed recipe for what he calls his soil block mix. And in that mix, there's sand and peat moss for good drainage. There's a little bit of lime to counteract the acidity of the peat moss. There is, you add a bit of onion soil because he's found out that places, or the soil that grew onions the year before, somehow the onion plants impart beneficial properties. And we haven't figured out just yet what those are, but there's something about having grown onions in the soil that makes for a good seed starting mixture.
So you can buy onion soil?
No, this is a do-it-yourself
oh, okay.
project, definitely.
I just was wondering, because I know I said, well, how do you do it yourself? But then I'm wondering, you're saying
this,
onion soil.
Yeah, this mix, block mix recipe from Elliot Kolm is definitely a do-it-yourself. There are commercial mixes that are similar, but this recipe is, you need soil from your garden, you need compost, I think I said peat moss and lime already, and some sand. And then you also add some nutrients in the form of some blood meal for the nitrogen and colloidal phosphate, which is really just very, very finely ground phosphate rock. And then usually some green sand for the potassium. It's an easy mess to make. We make it every year, usually in the fall, so you have to plan ahead. If this is the first time you're thinking about starting your own seeds, well, you'll probably need to buy a block mix or a starting mix for this year. But you can take a look at it, and maybe next year you would want to, because we do gather the materials the fall before, and often make up some mix the fall before, so it's all ready to go early in the spring.
Okay, and then what do you put it in? Like, what are you growing it in?
There's three options. One is you can make essentially cubes of this block mix there's a little tool called a block maker. It's available now through a lot of seed catalogs. And you press this block maker into the damp soil mix, pull it out, and there's a plunger. And when you pull back on the plunger, you get four cubes of this block mix. So you don't need a container of any kind. Yeah, and the advantage to that is your plants never get root bound. They never go in that spiral fashion that you'll see if they're in a plastic pot. They air prune, and they're ready to go. They're a little bit fragile, not too bad, though. So that's one thing you can do without a container altogether.
Okay, but so I'm thinking you have a tray
You put them in a standard 10-20 flat with no holes in it. And that's what I do anyway. There's other people use different things, but I just put them in a standard flat. And there's other options in terms of pots if you don't want to go that route. There's pots made from compressed peat moss. There's pots made from cow dung. Those both work. I would caution anybody who's got sandy soil, if you use the peat moss pot strips, they can be challenging to get to decompose in a sandy soil. If the soil isn't moist enough, they don't decompose, and so the roots of the plant don't break through that peat pot. So if you have sandy soil, pay close attention to making sure that soil stays moist enough for the roots to penetrate the peat pot. And then there's also the plastic pots. If you buy plants at a nursery, you're used to getting plants in those plastic pots. And any seed catalog pretty much nowadays has those kinds of supplies available to it. And a lot of the big box stores and gardening centers also have some of those seed starting supplies available.
Okay. All right. So, you've got how you're going to plant it.
Mm-hmm.
When you were describing the... What did you call it? The squares?
The soil blocks?
The soil blocks. Uh-huh. It was making me think of like when you get an ice cream scoop and you scoop it out,
It's kind of like making a lot of little mud pies, too. Yeah. You can think of it that way.
Okay. All right. So once you get that, where are you going to set this up in your house, though? Because like right now, this time of year, we're not getting a lot of sun. Well, this time of year, all the clouds. And
I would say a south-facing window does not provide enough sunlight. I've tried it. Other people have tried it. And you tend to get very long, leggy, spindly plants. And the outside light just is not enough this time of year if you're growing indoors.
Okay.
So, a standard shop light, fluorescent light bulb, does provide good light. And what I've done is I set this up in my basement. It doesn't have to be a basement. I know people who have them in their kitchen, but... I put it in my basement, and I just got those wire utility shelves that are available from any hardware type of store. And I myself strung three of them together, not in one long line, but more as in a square block.
Mm.
And then because they're wire shelves, it's easy to suspend things from them. I just have some metal S-hooks and some chain, again, I got at the hardware store. And I hang some fluorescent lights so that they're just above the plants, like an inch or two above the plants, really close to them. And you want light on all of the plants. So how many lights you would put on a shelf depends on how many flats of plants you've got growing there. But you want it to be fully lit.
So especially before they even start growing, you're saying like 1 to 2 inches above the dirt, you want the light.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's once they're growing.
Oh,
to for germination, what's more important is temperature than light. And different plants take different germination temperatures. And sometimes that's available in the seed catalog, sometimes on the seed packet. But you might want to go to a reference book to get those temperatures. And they're not hard to find. But things like our peppers, our tomatoes, our squashes, and our melons, they need some pretty warm soil temperatures, 80 degrees or more, for them to germinate.
Mm-hmm.
And people have done different things to get that temperature up. Some people put them on top of their hot water heater, maybe just the seeds on a moist paper towel in a plastic bag before they plant them, just to get that germination going.
Oh, okay.
Or you can buy seedling heat mats designed, or germination mats designed exactly for that purpose, to provide some warmth underneath the sowed seeds, and that can help them. You know what I do, Jelaine, is it's a little unconventional, but I have an instant read meat thermometer that does double duty. It keeps me safe in the kitchen, but it also, I can quickly test the temperature of the soil and know that, do I have it the right temperature for this type of seed, or is it too warm, too cold? And that's really, really valuable for making sure your soil temperature is spot on.
So as you're, you know, starting the seed, and like you were saying, some of them you want 80 degree temperatures, does that need to continue for a while, or just to get it germinated?
Just to get it germinated. Yeah.
Okay.
Just for germination. Then once they've germinated, you can remove, for most plants, you can remove that heat source, unless you're growing in a really cold, like if you have an outdoor greenhouse you're doing this in, you're probably not going to remove the heat mats. But down in my basement, I don't need any supplemental heat once they've germinated.
Okay. It's just, you want it some way, and like you're saying, then you can get some resources and tell you how hot the soil should be to germinate.
Right.
Because not all seeds need the same temperature.
No, exactly. They vary widely. And spinach is a good example. It won't germinate if the soil is over 70 degrees.
Oh, okay.
So you have to know a little bit about, and it, you know, a good indication is it a crop that likes heat when you're growing it? And if it's a crop that likes heat, chances are pretty good you might want some supplemental warmth to get that seed to germinate.
Okay. All right. And now, it's just like when you have a garden, you don't want it too wet.
Right.
You don't want it too dry.
You want it just right.
So what is just right?
You know, the easiest way to do just right is to set up a system where you can water the plants from their bottom. In other words, if you have those, say you have those plastic pots, most of them have a drainage hole in the bottom.
Yes.
So you set those pots in a flat that does not have drainage holes, and you put water in the flat. And you stop putting water in when you see that it's not being taken up anymore. It's not coming up through the soil profile. It's very easy to see with those soil blocks or with those peat pots, because you can see the spaces. You know, you can actually see the bottom of the flat. Mm-hmm. It's a little more challenging if you're using the plastic strips.
Okay. Now, regarding lights, does it matter, you know, you were saying the fluorescent lights?
Just a regular old shop light is fine.
Okay. So not light bulbs? I mean, the old-fashioned light bulbs? And we have now the LED light bulbs?
Yeah. Up until a few years ago, that was the best option, is a standard fluorescent shop light. You don't need fluorescent grow lights. The difference between a standard fluorescent light bulb and a grow light bulb is they coat the inside of the bulb with a material to give a certain light spectrum, but that actually reduces the light output. So I know they did research at Michigan State University, and they found out just standard shop lights do quite well. It's a little different, though, when we get to LED lights. LED lights save even more energy than a fluorescent would, but the spectrum of light that they put out is a little different. And I know there's research going on right now to figure out, how do we get LED lights of the right combination of red, blue, and green light to be the fit that works for plants. And I don't have an answer to that yet. It's something I'm still looking into, still trying to find good answers on it. But there are some companies that have published or put out that they have plant grow lights. But I haven't seen any independent research evaluating those, just to know, do they get that combination of red, green, and blue just right for plants?
Okay, because, you know, everybody's like the LED or what we're supposed to be doing now.
Yeah, they save a lot of energy. Yeah. So as soon as we can get that red, bling, red, green, blue figured out, that's going to be a good option. Pricier option, but good in terms of using a lot less energy.
Right. And so you're saying there's some, they're doing some testing or there's science behind this trying, because the LED lights, they've been around just a little while.
Right. Yeah, and so they've, I know Michigan State University's horticulture department, that's one of the things they're working on is figuring out that right combination.
Okay. So once they know, we'll get to know this?
We hope so, yeah. So hopefully they'll come out really soon.
So in the meantime, though, just your fluorescent lights are really the best.
Right. Right now that's what I'm using, and I'll probably switch to LED as soon as I feel comfortable that I have the right answer on the right kind of LED.
Okay. So then talking about pots, because you talked about the soil blocks, which you feel that maybe that's the best.
Yeah.
That's the best. You've always got good, better, and best.
Right. I think that's the best from my experience, yeah.
Okay. But lots of times people have all kinds of different pots. I know when you buy stuff after somebody else was already starting it, it's the flimsy little plastic things, and you can just rip them apart and then stick it in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are okay, though.
Those are okay. You have to, with those, the things to watch is it's a little more challenging to monitor the soil moisture to not have it be too wet. So you have to look at that a little more closely. And then the other challenge with the plastic pots is sometimes the roots will circle around the circumference of the pot. And if a root gets trained in its early days to go around in a circle, it can be challenging to get it to stop growing around in a circle. And we want the roots to go out as far as we can get
them. Once they're in the ground, you want them to go.
Yeah, you want them to spread once they're in the ground. And if they've been trained to go in a circle, sometimes it could be challenging to get them to stop growing in a circle and to spread out.
So when they're in the soil blocks, it's just ground. I mean, it's just dirt.
It's just dirt.
So how do the roots then start? What do they do?
When the roots hit air, they stop. So the roots will go to the edge of the block and then they'll stop. They won't make that circular pattern like they do in a pot. And when they are planted out into the ground, they just can go.
Okay. So it's not like they're going to continue to grow wild. I mean, that's why I guess I'm thinking, you're going to have these, roots just sticking out.
Yeah, they don't stick out. And when they're in the soil blocks in your flat, they don't stick out. There's a little bit of air between each block, and the roots just stop when they get to the edge of the block.
Okay, because I understand. I mean, it makes sense to put them in the dirt, then they'll just go, and that's what you want. Okay, is there anything else you want to tell us, think about starting seeds?
Well, when you start seeds, one of the things that we want to do to break dormancy is make sure that that seed absorbs water. And the best way to do that is when you plant the seeds, press them down just a bit. Make sure that it's firmly touching the soil, and that can help get that germination started, break the dormancy.
So you don't want a lot of dirt over it, laying over it?
Usually, you can do it one of two ways. You can press it down without really much dirt over it, or you can cover it with up to 3 times the thickness of the seed.
Well, seeds are kind of pretty thin.
Yeah, so you get the idea. You don't want a whole lot of, for starting your seeds indoors, you don't want a whole lot of soil on top of them. And most of the things we start inside usually are pretty small. We don't usually start beans or corns, the large plants indoors. So we're dealing with small seeds, so just a small amount of soil on top of them.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, it's time for a quick break, folks, but stay tuned because we'll be right back with Teresa, our garden gal.